Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 883. Hey, let's talk about some Nerdist Community Corkboard stuff. First of all, Comic-Con is... Oh my God, it's like a week away. No, 2 weeks away. It's 2 weeks away. Okay, I just freaked myself out for a second. All right, it's 2 weeks away. I'm going to be doing a lot of stuff there. In the coming days, I'll be able to announce all the panels that I'm going to be moderating, so I'll see you out there. But I can tell you we're not doing a Nerdist Live show this year, and I'm not doing stand-up this year because my schedule was... My Comic-Con schedule was killing me. It was killing my. I was like no sleep, no time in between anything. You know, like very early morning until like 1 o'clock in the morning every day of stuff. So I'm just gonna go and moderate a few panels this year, and actually get to walk the floor and be social and say hi to people and not constantly be running up and down the streets of San Diego panting because I'm late for something. So I'm very excited about that this year. But I believe actually they're doing Mystery Science Theater live there at Comic-Con, so you should go see that. Go see Jonah and the boys do their Mystery Science Theater show, I believe, at the Balboa. But the first thing I can tell you is the Nerdist panel has moved to Hall H. How did we pull that off? I don't know, but I'm very excited about it because that's like the biggest honor you could get at Comic-Con is being able to present at Hall H. So we'll be there Thursday at 4:45 p.m. That'll be the Nerdist panel. We'll talk about Nerdist stuff. Chobot will be there. Dan Case will be there. Other people, Nerdist people that you know. And we'll answer your questions. I like to do mostly Q&A for those because people have questions and I want to answer them. So we'll present and then we'll answer your questions. So Comic-Con will be the 20th through the 23rd of July down in San Diego, San Diego Comic-Con International. Come down. I will see you there. Also on the Community Corkboard, my name is Lloyd Elmore Jr. I write a blog that started out where I talked about my depression, and that has turned into a blog about inspiration. I'd love to get more people to read it, and I can't think of a better place than Nerdist since most blog posts reference a movie or TV show that I loved. It's called ambientthoughtblog.com. Thanks ahead of time. Well, no worries, and great job to take something that has been something to process and struggle and turn it into a positive thing for people. Good job, Lloyd Elmore Jr. That's what I do all the time. So I'm very proud of your decision. Reddit user Decius X says, hello, I would like to share this event from the 501st Legion and Make-A-Wish Foundation. They're going to have a Stormtrooper helmet art auction near D23 on July 15th. Check out the event page on Facebook by searching Project Wish 501st Legion Stormtrooper art auction. This episode is Andy Samberg, a three-peat. It's the third time. Third time Samberg's on, and I love him. He's just one of those people that is not only fun to be around, but it makes you feel funnier because he's so funny. But I absolutely love him to pieces. And he's promoting Tour de Pharmacy, premiering on HBO July 8th at 10 p.m. And, of course, it'll also subsequently be on HBO Go and HBO Now. So watch it. Support everything he does because I love him. Here's the Nerdist Podcast number 883 with Mr. Andy Samberg. K-Day. Please roll the thing.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Every day too.
Yeah, you and I talk every day.
Do you not remember? You have the memento disease, where every day we have to have the same conversation.
I'm a memento guy.
I'm a memento. Oh, wait a minute! It is right on your chest.
I want a doctor to tell someone that
you have memento disease. What? You know the way you could really head fuck someone with that, because if enough people told you that, they go, no, everything that you think, it's not real. Like you, nothing that you think happened actually happened.
If you could convince someone they were in the Truman Show.
Yes.
It really only take a few key moments.
You know, I think that's the problem with our culture is that everyone assumes they're in the Truman Show, and that's what social media is all about.
Ed TV.
Right? Yeah, yes. But that's essentially what is happening. Everyone's filming everything. It's just not big cameras, just little phones.
Truman Show and Ed TV were, like, very ahead of their time. Like, they were like, it was like Natural Born Killers almost.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of, like, this is the way media is and everyone's their own show.
Yeah.
But it's always funny. The same way, like, you know, dystopian future stuff that now the date of when they're supposed to have happened is passed.
That's right.
When you rewatch them, you're like...
So we don't have precogs or cars that drive up the side of buildings? What happened?
That Blade Runner trailer looked good.
It looks great. It looks really great.
I was like, oh no, and then I saw it and I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, I mean, there's as many examples of... We're going to make another one that don't work. Yeah. I feel like there are some good examples of, hey, okay, yeah, I'm on board for that, you know?
Mad Max.
Mad Max was fucking amazing.
Mad Max at the bar.
And I really loved Rogue One. I thought Rogue One was a fantastic Star Wars movie.
Are we going?
Yeah. Okay.
I don't care. I just was wondering. I like just chatting with
don't you leave that in. Don't you fucking leave that in.
I fucking hated Rogue One.
Rogue One... I just found out Rogue One they shot on film. Is that correct?
I believe, maybe, possibly.
I feel like I heard they did, and the reason was so that it would look more like the original.
The old Star Wars, yeah. Digital, I don't know what the thing with digital is, it just doesn't look great. Like, and maybe it's just because we grew up in an era where movies had a certain depth and dimension to them, and not where everything just looks like reality television. Like, the high def, too high def just does not look good to my eyes.
The way that I gauge it with Star Wars, weirdly, is, like, the glossiness of the Stormtrooper and Darth Vader helmets.
Mm-hmm.
There's that, like, thickness to it, texturally, that you can't really put your finger on. Exemplified, I think, the most in the red helmets in Jedi.
Yes.
The Emperor's guards.
You just reminded me, there's the craziest movie memorabilia auction that I've ever seen. The book is like this big, and it's in a couple weeks, and it's... There's like an original R2-D2 unit in there, Luke's, which is, they estimate between $1 and $2 million.
I was going to say it has to be, right?
Or lights, you know, an original lightsaber. But it's... All of these crazy, you know, it's like Ghostbusters jumpsuits and then stuff from Back to the Future and the console from Next Generation. And but one of the things in there when you said helmets is fucking Dark Helmet's helmet from Spaceballs.
Ooh, that I would bid.
I know.
I would bid on that hard.
Shit, you and I are going to get in a bidding war for that.
You want to just split it?
Yeah, let's just split it. We'll just split
it'll give
time.
Us a better chance
of
getting it.
Yeah. We'll go in halvesies.
Who else is out there bidding on that besides me and you?
There's someone, well, because it's a very specific, it's like, okay, if you had a nerdy sense of humor from that era and you have an extra $100,000, I mean, it's like, there's a lot of things.
Or it's like Eric Andre, so he can use it on his show.
And then just break it in the end. No.
Then we fucking blew it up.
That's terrible. This was so cool about it. No.
People were pissed, dude.
Yes, that's because it's a bad thing to do. It's, pissing people off isn't always the best. But if, I think I still would, for a little bit, be like, oh, that's fucking cool. They blew that up. But yeah, there's that. And then, I mean, it's just stuff from Alien. And I've never seen anything like it
before. I
still
haven't seen the new Alien. Is Noomi Rapace in it? No, no spoilers. Is she in it? But don't tell me.
I don't want to know. Is it? No, don't.
If there's a chance she's in it, nod.
I'm not going to. Just let it be a fresh experience. Let it be a fresh experience for
you. I'm a big Noomi head.
Yeah, that's what they're called. You going to NumiCon this year? You going to RapacheCon?
I think she should be in more things. She's probably like in 500 movies, right?
Probably just shy of 500 movies. What you want to list? What she's got coming out?
What was the name you said?
Numi?
Numi Rapace?
Rapace.
From the original Dragon Tattoo series?
Yep. Numi Rapace.
Everyone's in everything now, though.
Yeah, I don't know.
Every time I see anyone, I'm like, oh, hey, you were great at everything.
And all of those movies that just came out at one time. Well, I almost wonder if there's a... People are just... Because there's so much content now for people...
Yeah.
Consumers just need... It's not just like, oh, there's four movies coming out this summer. It's like 4,000 things.
4,000 movies.
Prometheus, Sherlock Holmes.
Oh, yeah.
The one with Jude Law.
Uh-huh. I like that.
Dragon Tattoo.
Uh-huh.
More, read all of them.
American. No, I'm kidding.
Is that from Disneyland?
It is, yeah. It's old. It's an old.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm. So I do a lot of like memorabilia auctions. I go to a lot of memorabilia auctions, and so that's one of them. Yeah, that's from the old one, Jungle Book.
I love it. I gotta get back to Disneyland. I hear it's like changing fast.
Oh my gosh, oh my god, if you ever. You probably could totally go. You don't need me, but
I need you.
Okay, but I belong to this thing called Club 33.
I've wanted to go to that since I was a teenager.
My wife and I are members.
Let me come with you.
Yes, you can.
Holy shit! My wife also is dying to check
you
it out.
You absolutely. It's so great. There's Club 33, and then over in California Adventure, there's like a little satellite one called 1901.
Okay,
and they're great. They're great.
It's kind of like Magic Castle-y, I've heard, but maybe not even that.
Yeah, on the inside. And then there's all sorts of, you know, there's paintings that do special things that move. But then there's just like a lot of history. It's like, oh, this console was used in Mary Poppins. You know, there's like a little bit of that stuff, too. So
the new one, I assume.
The new one. Yeah. Not the old one. We didn't save any of that stuff.
It's like when the movie awards do, they give out the award for upcoming summer blockbuster.
Oh, my God.
For the best movie that hasn't come out yet.
It's going to be so good.
How could it fail?
It won the award.
Pre-won.
For paying us the most money.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. That's so true. Yeah. It's just all, nothing's real. Nothing's fucking real.
Everything's a lie. Everything's a fucking lie. I was just talking to someone about the state of comedy in general and just about how sometimes I feel like, boy, my sense of humor, it's so much a holdover from just a pre-internet era.
Right.
And
who are you talking to about it?
I was just talking to my manager, Alex, about it because I was just trying to figure out. Like,
I was hoping you were going to say Ray Romano.
I was talking to Ray Romano about it. And he was like, no, I love it. I love everything. I love the YouTubes.
Like, well, I asked my ma. It's my best. That's the best I got. Apologies to Ray Romano.
Yeah, I don't think he would be able to discount that impression. I think he'd be
can't
like,
ever call spot on. He can't ever refer to his own mother as
ma. Ray, please. But just the idea that there's a whole section of if you're a millennial and you grew up on the internet, your humor is just different.
Yes,
it's just a different slice of homegrown fail-based. Weird non sequitur humor that is, meme generated.
Also, I feel like, and I truly don't mean this in a judgy way, I feel like the generation that grew up fully online, sometimes just doing something that already exists is considered a joke.
Right.
You know, that used to be like, oh, it was like a fan vid or an homage or something like that. But now it's like, no, we just did that. And people think it's really funny.
Yeah.
And they like it. And that's one that always I'm like, I wouldn't spend my time on that, but I think that it's fun and cool that people like it.
Yeah, because because the internet, in as much as, people believe everything is sort of open source and everything should be shared.
Yes.
Which, in general I agree with.
Yeah, I'm down
with
that.
But it bleeds over into comedy. It's like, oh yeah, you can just share jokes like they're your own. Like, oh, I don't know. It feels weird. I mean, that's not really.
It's also interesting because sometimes, like, the general of the web chooses the times when it's not okay.
Right.
And you're like, that motherfucker stole it. And you're like, well, okay, is that why was that one not okay and this one is?
Well, those, I'm not going to mention any names, but there are these really popular Instagram accounts that are comedy Instagram accounts with millions of followers. And a lot of them, I don't know if they've changed their practices, but at least for the longest time,
would take stuff and then crop out the attribution. So it would say, like, you know, by someone, it would have the tag of the username at the bottom and they'd crop it out. And it's like, oh, I mean, come on.
Right.
You know, that you made a conscious decision. They're like, we're just finding this stuff. Like, you cropped it out.
It's like putting out, like, now that's what I call music without crediting the artist that made the song.
Moshe Kasher was telling me a story about this Italian comedian. I'd never heard the story, but this Italian comedian who, like, every year would release the most amazing comedy album. And it was like he was this huge comic in Italy. And then after a handful of years, they discovered he would just come to America.
No.
Just like, you know, like listen to Richard Pryor or whoever.
Yeah.
And then just translate it into Italian and just go do.
When was this?
I don't know.
Before the internet, probably.
Maybe, or around the same. Maybe the internet's what busted him. Maybe what got him. You got busted! Internet busted you!
You say that at least once a PCast.
Every day, yeah. And I call it a PCast.
Okay, so we got our You Got Busted in.
When's he going to do the busted bit? Hey, how's it going? You got busted! I didn't do anything. I was just walking by. Did you find it?
No.
I got a tip. See, I'm going to text Moshe and ask him if he...
In here is too cool to do your podcast in here because it's too distracting. I want to look at all of it.
Oh, yeah, we want to look at everything, all the toys. It's so just a small piece of stuff that
you have?
That I'm starting to become overwhelmed.
This is the second place I've been that has face grabber stuff.
Oh yeah, well, because it just came out, and so I think they were
One of them had the actual cocoon like as it was opening.
Yeah,
but it's stuck in that position.
Listen, that and auction has the original ones of those from the original movies.
I can't relax with that in my eyesight. Like, I'm glad it's behind me.
It does. It just it's prehensile, and it'll just fold over your face. And
it's so gross.
It's really great.
That's definitely one.
But that was from an era where, and I sometimes when I kind of talk about practical effects, people who do CG effects are like, hey man, you know, we have a skill too. And yes, you do. But there's something about the limitation of practical effects that created terror because they couldn't show you everything.
Correct.
And that was part of the fun of it is your imagination.
Jaws.
Yes. 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 Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You imagine, and then even Alien, just seeing a head come in.
Yeah, always sort of wreathed in shadow.
Yeah, exactly. Do you, if you are making a movie, do you ever think, well, let's, but how much special effect heavy stuff have you ever worked on?
Not a ton. I still am waiting to be asked to be in a disaster movie. That's like my big.
You might have to just make it.
My big fantasy. You might have to be like Owen Wilson in Armageddon. That's like my dream. Have like a few little quick jokes and then like hang on wires for like hours and
Look
hours.
Look out, man. Armageddon's coming,
That's
man.
That's good.
Hey, come on. Hey, where's my buddy Ray Romano and his mom?
How come you're Chewy? Or whatever he says. But even in that, yeah, good Star Wars jokes.
It's a good, yeah.
And that was recent, like right around Bottle Rocket times. I feel like I had just sort of started discovering Bottle Rocket and then I was like, holy shit, the guy from Bottle Rocket's in Armageddon.
You know, I think a lot of people have, because my schedule sucks and I never audition for movies, so I never am in movies. But I feel like I would never want to be like the main guy in a movie. I just want to be the guy that comes in and says a couple ridiculous things and then leaves. No pressure.
Yeah. In all things, that is much safer, I'm finding. Like if it's your big old schnoz on the billboard and then let's say hypothetically it doesn't make as much money as people want, then you're like, oh, I wish I was the side guy.
It's not my fault. It's the mummy's fault. The mummy was on the poster. The mummy.
I'm excited to see the mummy.
I'm excited to see it too, but you better see it quick. Because I don't think it's...
I see everything on like iTunes or on demand now anyway.
Yeah, I guess that's true. When was the last time you actually went? When was the last time you said, honey, let's go to a movie. Let's park the car and head on in to a theater.
Force Awakens.
Oh, what? Oh, my God. That was like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
I don't go there that much. But it's because, A, I'm lazy.
Yep.
B, I'm busy. Mm-hmm. And C, things come out so fast on demand now.
Yep.
And also, home entertainment systems are pretty dope.
Yep.
Where I'm just like, this is surround sound.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
Yeah, when you used to have a 20-inch CRT television with the little speaker and the thing.
Yes.
Then, of course, you would go see
and a movie. And VHS, and it's like 4x3 and all that stuff. But now it's like, no, I'm like in a movie theater at my house, basically.
But there are some movies that I think what's going to start separating the theater versus home theater experience is just like giant event movies where you go, oh, you kind of need to see it on a massive screen. Like Rogue One was great to see on a big screen. Alien
for
Covenant was great to see on a big screen. Logan was actually even though Logan felt like a weird indie movie, it was actually pretty cool to see.
Are you talking Logan color or black and white?
I didn't. I'm waiting for sepia, you know? Like, just let's really steampunk it out. Oh, black and white. No, it's cute. Yeah. It's no sepia tone.
Sepia tone's more my thing when it comes to Logan.
It's just more. Sepia tone is just more pleasing to the eye.
How is there no one named Logan in the Bill and Ted movies?
Logan. Ted Theodore Logan.
Oh, that's yeah. That name. Is why I thought of it. Subconscious. Yeah,
there is.
There is.
Andy. God.
Subconsciously.
Yeah.
I knew.
Boy, there's so. Every so often, I feel like I hear, like, they're going to make it. Oh, I don't know if they're going to make it. Oh, they're going to do it.
Oh, the Bill and Ted?
Yeah.
Dude. Why are those so good?
Because...
Is it... Sorry to cut
you. No, you, please.
Is it known just across, like, the comedy world, I guess, that the sequel is super funny?
I don't know, because the sequel didn't... I don't think it did great.
Yeah.
But it's so weird and self-referential.
Yeah.
And...
I feel like it's like Gremlins 2. Everyone's like, Gremlins 2 is kind of incredible.
It's great. Gremlins 2 is great.
Yeah. Well, Key and Peele did that sketch, which is like the best thing ever made.
That Gremlins 2 is great?
The Gremlins 2 writing room sketch. Have you seen that?
No. How
Holy
is that?
Shit. You will love
that
it.
That is so specific.
Jordan's on fucking fire in it. I think it's this old sketch he used to do.
Gotcha.
Like, live. And it is maybe one of my favorite sketches of all time.
That movie is spectacular in such a bizarre way because it... Whenever someone takes – they didn't try to recreate the first movie. They just said, okay, the first movie was a hit, so let's just make a movie that was really aware of what the first movie was.
And Bill and Ted's kind of like that too.
Yeah, 100%.
Almost in like the first 21 Jump Street way.
Right.
Of like really making fun of itself and referencing itself.
Like the Brady Bunch movie.
Yes.
But Bill and Ted's, I feel like if – I really wanted to see a third one, and they keep saying there's going to be a third one, but it just never ends up getting made.
At this point, it would be so fascinating.
To see Keanu.
To see Bill and Ted in their like late 40s? Early
Keanu's
50s?
50. And,
yeah.
And he kind of looks the same. And Alex Winter kind of looks the same, too.
The dudes are hunks.
They're perma-hunks.
Cut from marble, dyed-in-the-wool hunks.
Is anyone else in that movie still around? But I can't figure out like what the because I couldn't get any tidbits out of either one of them, and so I don't know, is it like, do they have kids or is it them?
Right.
What's the?
Well, it depends. It would have to be this. Somehow, there was a rift in the what was supposed to happen in the future with Wild Stallions bringing peace to the galaxy.
Yep.
And they need to like fix it. Like Back to the Future style.
Right, 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 right.
Back to the Future 2.
Back to the Future 2, yeah.
So then the whole movie would be about them as much more grown adults trying to correct, you know, what got thrown amiss, right? It has to be that.
So, yeah, so...
Otherwise, it's just the future. Wild Stallions has brought peace, and everyone's just hanging out, and it's peaceful.
and it's just a beautiful feel-good movie. It's like Eat, Pray, Love.
I would watch the shit out of that. And also, I literally this week was like, you know, I kind of think that Wild Stallions song, when they show up in the future, and they're like, the music's excellent, I kind of liked that song. I wonder if it's good. And looked it up and found it, and it is really good.
Really?
And it is... With or Without You by U2. Like, it just is that song.
You know, we're ending this podcast with Katie. You got to find the Wild Stallion song.
Dude.
From the end of Bogus Journey or from the end? They go forward in Bogus Journey?
No, in Excellent Adventure.
In Excellent Adventure.
When they flash forward to the future and they get off and they're like, ooh, I think we went the wrong direction.
Oh, right, 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 right.
And they're like, oh, the music's excellent. And it's like very winky because it's them.
Well, the other impressive thing about that is that those Chris Matheson and Ed Solomon, there was so much Doctor Who reference in that. I mean, way before
yeah.
it was a cool hip thing to reference, you know, like the phone booth and the time streams and the that movie was also pretty far ahead of its time. But I feel like if there is a third Bill and Ted's, there has to be. I wanted to see like a standalone station movie. You know, the two little, like, station. Like, I just wanted to see a standalone movie.
Wanted to see a movie just about death.
Oh, right, right, right.
He's the funniest character in Bogus Journey, I think.
You have defeated me. I am at your command.
Best 4 out of 7.
Can't believe this guy.
Death's a total cheater.
Colonel Mustard did it in the study with the candlestick. Sorry,
so
dude.
I also loved speaking back to what we were talking about earlier with the when the future looks like the present era, that the future sounded like U2 in the 80s.
It totally did.
It's like the way that the future in Star Wars, all the hairstyles look like the 70s.
They knew that U2 was never going to go away. They just knew that U2 was going to be in it for the long haul.
It is a timeless vibe. It's still a good song.
I feel like U2 would be one of those bands that is absorbed into the digital singularity first, and then just AI U2 songs just start getting created and appear on your iPhone.
Just that could be.
Magically.
I could see that. They'll do whatever.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. But it's funny to me that early U2 is so, it was like, it was really like about revolution and harmony and peace, and then it just turned into, it's a beautiful day. Like, it just got so... It just got so bubblegummy.
It did. It became very like, this will be really good playing in the montage before the Super Bowl.
But I...
two teams. From two drastically different cities.
Super Bowl Sunday. It was a beautiful day.
It's big business. Big business.
You know, that is the sort of ultimate... Is that the sort of ultimate artist's journey and then blessing curse? Where it's like, you know, when you're young and you write about struggle and fighting and you're rebellious, and then you get super rich and everything's, and then you're on private jet, and it's like, hey man, I'm not rebelling against anything anymore.
I feel like it's just another example of just how getting old kind of sucks.
Like a what, long like line.
Like it's. It goes, I think, probably for other people's professions, too, other than, like, being creative.
I guess that's true.
Where you're like, an athlete retires and then literally has nothing to do when they get older.
Yeah, those guys, they retire at, like... But, fuck, if I were a professional athlete, I would have retired 10 years ago.
Yes.
And then, I mean, you're still kind of, you're still young.
Yeah.
So what are you supposed to...
Car dealerships.
that's what you do.
I think that's it. I mean, that's why they're all so business-minded now. Which is great. Smart. They're setting themselves up for the future. And a lot of them go into broadcasting.
That is an older thing, too, is where you start to get older. You're like, well, I don't know if I'm going to be working forever. So I need to make sure I stash as much as possible.
It's terrifying. You always, no matter how much you make, you think you're going to run out of money.
Yeah.
I believe.
I would hear those stories about Jay Leno. Like, oh, he won't live off his Tonight Show money. It's only appearance. He's like, he must have $200 million.
He probably does.
But in his mind... It's like, it's all going to...
It's like, yeah, but what if someone robbed me of all that?
Stick them up, Jay Leno. I shouldn't have kept this out of my mattress. It's all right. Here you go.
You got good Leno.
It's okay.
I didn't realize this was going to be an impressions parade for
you,
but I'm happy
for
you
for your sketch show that you're not on.
Most people still think I'm on SNL.
Are you serious? No, they don't. Really?
Out in the streets?
Yeah.
Hey, SNL.
Is a show?
Is a show.
Yeah.
Well, I've gone back many times.
Of course.
I would say this year was the first year since I left I didn't go back at all.
Did it feel weird?
No.
No.
Didn't. But I think at least once or twice a year, all the other years since I left, I went back and did something.
I feel like because you're part of the family, you'll always...
I love to believe I'm like one of those cast members that's like inner circle that gets asked back.
Sure.
So anytime they're like, hey, would you want to? I'm like, sure, I'll come do it.
You just appear right there. Hey, I was in the neighborhood. Yeah, but it does. I guess that fear of, you know, it's like, hey, you're really cool in high school. And then you show up one day and you're like, hey, everyone, it's me. And everyone's like,
that's
who the fuck are.
That's definitely the fear. You never want it to be that. Like, oh, yeah, this guy with his dick wraps. I remember those when I was 12.
Those are offensive now. Those are offensive, and I'm outraged.
No comment. I thought SNL had a great year.
This year was incredible.
That is my comment. I thought it was really funny.
This year was an incredible year, and you know, it's unfortunate that there was so much political strife that drove it, but I am so glad that SNL like did what it was designed to do, which was be able to comment on
what's going on.
What's going on.
Yeah. And election years are always huge there.
Oh, yeah.
This one especially, because obviously it's a waking nightmare.
I had never spent any... Who was I? Was I just talking to someone on the podcast about when we shot... I did Red Nose Day, and we shot it at 30 Rock, and we shot some stuff on the 8H stage.
Yeah.
And so my dressing room was like it's like the first dressing room right off the stage, uh-huh. and I just the whole time... Because I never really spent much time there.
The host dressing room?
I don't know. It's like, so if you walk out of the studio...
You go to the right.
Turn to the right, and it's the first room in there.
That's the host and the guest. Yeah.
I'm so glad I pooped in there.
You sat on a toilet. So many grates I sat on.
So many grates. Kind of in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't really have to poop, but I kind of got to make it happen.
Just going to go rub my butt around on it. Just soak up some of that Mick Jagger.
Yeah. All right, then.
There's another one.
Come on. Now I'm very self-conscious of how many stupid voices
I do. This is as good as Harry Styles.
No. Well, I'm in NSYNC now. I was at a party once, and he was there, and I was talking to a couple comics about Trump, just about everything that's going on. Like, wow, this is during the election.
Yeah.
And he walked up, and he heard... didn't say anything. You heard 3 minutes of the conversation, and then just like a cat, went into another room.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh yeah, if you're Harry Styles, you probably you aren't conditioned to have to sit through conversations that aren't interesting to you.
Uh-huh.
Your thought is just like, oh, I haven't been inside someone for like a minute, and so you just disappear, and
it's true.
You don't have to.
Or he's like, I don't know anything about American politics.
No, I'm sure that's what it was. We just sounded like creepy old.
Make no mistake, he was going to the other room to fuck someone.
He was going the other room.
If you were him, you would be
100%.
The guy's a dreamboat.
He's dreamy,
cut from marble, dyed in the wool, hunk,
hair or no hair, it doesn't matter. He's
like the third Bill and Ted.
I kind of love that. Like, if they could use him properly, it would be kind of fun.
Actually, that's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea.
Get Harry Styles on the
Hey, Keanu, busted. Yeah, I really hope I just hope they don't do it with other people. I hope they do it with Keanu and Alex. And
agreed.
It's not like...
Agreed.
A new era of Bill and Ted.
No, that never works.
No. Have you ever been presented with an idea that was like, we're going to give you a lot of money if you do this thing, and you're like, you know, I don't know if I want to be the guy that...
To redo a thing?
Yeah.
I think I've been on a list of people that they were feeling them out.
Got it.
Not necessarily like I passed. I don't want to make it seem like if anyone is attached to or does these things,
right,
that they were asked after me.
Right.
But, you know, when your agent will be like, hey, they're asking around to see if people are interested in working on like Police Academy or something like that. Or like Fletch is another one that was bouncing around.
Oh, yeah. Who plays Fletch?
I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Are you kidding me? To me, it was like, that is just him.
If Chevy Chase can't follow up Fletch with Fletch Lives successfully, who can come in and be...
Well, it's like
Fletch.
You wouldn't be like, we're going to remake Billy Madison.
Right.
You're like, no.
No. They did a pretty good job.
It's Sandler. He's Billy Madison.
Yeah.
And he's still going. And Chevy Chase could do Fletch if you want to do another Fletch.
It's Groundhog Day with... Nope.
Well, they did do that one. They just made it sci-fi.
What? Oh, right.
With Edge of Tomorrow.
Yeah, Edge of Tomorrow.
Which is...
Fun movie.
Edge of Tomorrow and Looper, my two favorite sci-fi movies of the last 10 years, I think.
Both great. And I think Looper did well. I think Edge of Tomorrow didn't do as well, but I think they didn't...
They're doing a sequel.
They are?
Because it did international.
Oh, good.
Cruise does international.
He brings it... Well, that's it. Like, when Mummy came... Mummy didn't do as well this weekend. And you know, listen, I don't think anyone feels bad for a big movie star. Like, oh, he's fine. Yeah. He's got money. But he's a really nice guy, and I always feel like, oh, I root for him, you know? And when they say, you know, I saw the articles that were breaking down, like, maybe his star is fading, or maybe people don't want these problems. Like, you know what? If the movie had been great, people would have seen it. I don't know. Like, it's just as simple as that.
They're just filling the silence. He just put out Mission Impossible, and it was, like, the biggest thing ever, right? I know. I don't think anyone's worried about Tom Cruise. He's, like, one of the last real movie stars, right?
Yeah, yeah, him and the, well, yeah, yeah, I guess Harrison Ford's. I like the Harrison Ford's just kind of wrapping up all the loose ends.
he's got to die in all his original movies.
I think that's the thing. Yeah. He's got to just go through and just like wrap them all up.
If he dies in Blade Runner, I'm going to be pissed.
I'm positive he'll die in Blade Runner so that they can't ever recast Deckard. I'm positive that they will.
And then this way I can just die in real life.
He's gotta go die in all those Tom Clancy movies. No, how dare you, Mr. President? Oh, I've been shot.
Oh shit. Ryan Gosling, pick up this gun and go save the day.
But you're a different character, you're a different guy. Not the same guy at all. Different guy. I just want to make that clear.
You're Tony Ryan.
No relation. Still a coincidence. Right, it's probably should have thought that one through.
There's no relation for no reason. Why bother having his last name be Ryan?
That's not our job, kid.
The whole movie, they'd be like, this is Tony Ryan. No relation.
Yeah, but you guys, you're both kind of tall and handsome, and you're going, all right, it's a coincidence. We got to save the president.
That's incredible.
No, but
in Indiana Jones, Shia was his son in the end, right? That's what the reveal was?
I guess so.
And what was his name?
Minnesota
Peacock Jones.
I don't know what his name was.
I enjoyed that movie fine,
you know.
People were like venomously hating that movie.
Well, I think
monkey sequence, but you know, otherwise it was fun.
I think what's hard for people to,
his name was Mutt Jones.
Williams, because he didn't know that he was a Jones,
right? I think what's hard for people to understand is when you're a kid and you see something that you've never seen before, you can't recreate that experience.
Right.
So nothing is there. The older you get, the very few things you're going to be like, my mental horizons have been widened because you've just seen so much.
Yes.
So you have to understand that you are watching things on a bit of a curve.
Yes.
From when you were 13 years old.
I think that's fair.
So you can't, you know.
That said, like Temple of Doom is so aggro compared to Crystal Skullhead Vodka or whatever it was.
Right, right. Crystal Skullhead Vodka. Yeah. Yeah. Sponsored by
Aykroyd, yeah?
Yeah. Aykroyd's Vodka.
I know what you're saying, though. I'm sure kids saw that Indiana Jones and were like, this is great.
Right.
He's swinging through the vines with monkeys.
No, but you needed to see the original one when he went to the...
That one's slow.
How dare you?
It is interesting, though, like now that everyone has kids that I know. They show the old movies we loved when we were kids to their kids, and their kids are, some of them, they're just like, it kind of sucks. And you're like, what?
How dare
and
you?
And then I remember my dad being like, have you seen the original King Kong?
Oh, where he's all like weird and his hair.
The claymation
weird
movie?
Yeah.
It's fine. It's like it's like those sequences in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yes.
No, it wasn't about that.
I will say now as an adult with like, you know, a degree in film,
mm-hmm.
I do know like historically that King Kong was really cool and important. And I do love watching it. But like when you compare that to Star Wars when we were kids,
yeah,
you're like, no, I don't want to fucking watch Star Wars.
Well, there's just this. I think the same complaints we had about movies from the 30s and the 40s just being sort of slow and drawn out,
yeah,
is just exponentially more because kids are just stimulated all the time.
Yeah.
And I know I've had people, I've friends who they've shown their kids, you know, episodes 4, 5, and 6, but then they show them 1, 2, 3 and they find the kids respond better to the prequels,
right,
than the originals
because it looks more like the stuff they watch.
I guess so, yeah. And it also was just made more for, with them, with kids in mind,
right.
I think.
You know, you just wish the prequels had looked like Avatar.
Yeah, but they didn't. Boy, fucking James Cameron. That, like that, putting all of your...
How many Avatars? There's 4 Avatars being made
right
now.
There's a ton coming out. And you really think he did something which you really should never do in the business, which is he's the put all your eggs in one basket guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend 10 years on one thing.
I think he's just like the way that like a junkie is looking for a new fix. Like you have to do more and more heroin kind of in order to get off. He's like, well, I did Titanic. They said that was going to be the Titanic of movies. And mm-hmm. that was the biggest movie ever. And then I did this Avatar weird ass thing. And it turned out to be the biggest movie of all time again. Maybe I'll do 5 Avatar
movies. Why not just do 5 of them?
Spend it all at once. Cause fucking that'd be crazy.
I wonder if he's working on anything. Yeah. And then in between that, he just goes to the bottom of the ocean.
Does like a crazy documentary about the bottom.
I was going to go to the bottom of the ocean. But in between, while we're sorting out the technology to make the CG look really good.
Can you imagine shooting anything with that kind of budget?
No, I don't.
He's probably spending like billions? A billion?
Maybe. Ultimately, I mean, for all of them together, probably. At least.
Because if you think of like a run-of-the-mill summer blockbuster now is like 200.
Yeah, 200, 250.
And then when you throw in the advertising.
500.
Yeah.
It's so stupid.
So if you're making four avatars, each one of those is probably more than one of those, right?
Yeah, probably.
So, I mean, it's got to be like.
But it'll make it all. I mean, it's like.
The studio's got to basically like write a collective check of like $4 billion.
But he hasn't cashed in on that sweet sequel. That you know, like, audiences are very generous to a sequel because they're like, well, the first one was good. I'll definitely go see.
Right.
And it's had so much time to percolate. Now there's fucking Avatar World at Disney World. Yeah, and there's one coming to Disneyland. And so it, when the sequel comes out, it's like, he's going to be in great shape.
He's going to be in great shape. However, yeah, you're right. Because even like the Hobbit movies, which by the standard that was set with Lord of the Rings, people were kind of bummed, right?
Yeah, probably a little bit. I mean, yeah. But
they all made a billion each.
They all made a ton of money.
It's more, and the prequels made a billion each. It's more just like, do you feel good about it?
Do you feel good about having some hipster nerd be like, I'm not even going to review this movie.
That's true success that you could make three more movies that people don't like that much and they all make a billion.
Isn't it funny how dismissive... I am losing my patience with the dismissive nature of people on the internet. Like, yeah, they just fucking suck. Like, what have you done that made $1 billion?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What have you done that made $1 billion?
There were really cool things in The Hobbits.
Yeah, absolutely.
But they weren't as good as Lord of the Rings.
Well, again, you know.
It would have been one great movie.
When Lord of the Rings came out.
One book.
It was. That was that amazing period of time, you know, in that early 2000s. The technology had just caught up.
Yes.
So you have a great X-Men movie, a great Spider-Man movie, right. Lord of the Rings. Like, all these movies are really, you know, just converging. And it was just the perfect time. So we had never seen anything like that before. And seeing, you know, like that fucking, what's his name? Smeagol.
Gollum.
Yeah.
You could call him Smeagol.
I could call him Smeagol.
Frodo did.
Listen, it's inaccurate in the timeline. He was definitely...
He's trying to bring him back to that Smeagol
trick. Trying to bring him back.
Because he had to believe.
Poisoned. He was too poisoned
he
by the ring.
He had to believe he could come back.
But that looked really good.
Yeah. And still does. I rewatch them often.
But how does Jurassic Park hold up from like 1991, 1992? And I watch like a big budget action movie today or a big budget sci-fi movie. And I'm like... How are they still not getting the weight down and the movements?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like they spend so much time like, but look at the hair.
Uh-huh.
You can see the hair follicle. Like, I know, but it just looks like he's walking on a cloud.
Yeah. It's just like anything, right? Some people are good at it and some people aren't.
I guess, but I do
Lord of the Rings also did the alien thing, though, even though it was CG and it kept it really dark.
Yes.
Like, probably the stuff in Lord of the Rings that's the most like, is when it gets really bright.
Right. Like the battle scenes look pretty good though.
Yeah, it's crazy how good it looks in the third one. Cuz it's all in like bright daylight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, cuz after the second one there's the battle at Helm's Deep and you're like, well, but it's raining and it's dark. They did a really good job of like hiding all the showing all the seams and stuff, but then that last one you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah, I feel like it's time for you to do like a $250 million budget
comedy.
I miss those days when like I miss the comedy action movie days of like the big time director directing like a Beverly Hills Cop or Last Boy Scout
they're kind of doing them right with like Dwayne Johnson.
I guess
stuff.
So. Yeah, no, I guess so.
Wasn't Central Intelligence kind of that?
Yeah, but those. I guess maybe I'm just thinking of, you know, the. Some of the movies were like kind of dark. It wasn't just like, yeah.
It leaned more into the action part.
It leaned more into the action part and was supplemented by having like Eddie Murphy or another amazing performer at the center who could, like, it would have been just a great action movie, but then adding that layer to it. I feel like everything has to be all or one thing or something else now.
This is super left of that center, But something that did action and comedy and I thought really well was Nice Guys. Did you see that?
Oh, movie? Yeah. Nice Guys was great.
It's not that genre you're talking about, but I was like, holy shit, this is genuinely funny.
Yeah, they did a great job.
I was like a little angry after I watched Nice Guys, where I was like, is fucking Ryan Gosling funny too? That is not cool.
Does he need everything?
I was a little pissed.
Yeah.
That bit he does with like trying to put out a cigarette in the bathroom and like the door keeps opening and shit. Yeah. I was just like, this is like good physical comedy.
He is funny and they were both really funny in it and it and it looked great.
It was a good movie.
It was a really good movie.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites of that year.
Are they making another one of those?
I'm not sure.
I just assume that everything that does well, like we have to make another one of those.
I don't know it, that it did well. I think it was on everybody's like, how did nobody see this lists?
But I feel like I talked to a lot of people who were like you, like, oh my God, the movie was so great.
We live in L.A.
We do live in L.A., yeah.
Everyone's a pop star here, too.
I feel like everyone I talk to that's in my friend group with the same exact taste says that I don't understand. Now, everything I think, I don't understand.
Yeah, we're doing good here.
Is there any type of movie where you feel like, oh, man, I wish I'd get asked to do that?
Besides disaster movies?
Besides a disaster movie.
Yeah, like all of them. All kinds, every kind of movie.
So it ultimately just never gets any better. It's like whenever you, and I mean, that's a very negative way to say it. But I mean, like when you accomplish a certain thing, you're like, oh, hey, I got this thing. Oh, man, but I didn't get to play in that circle over there.
It's weird. Because probably my favorite genre of movies is sci-fi. That's like the thing I like watching the most and get the most excited about. But I don't know that I should be in one because I would probably ruin it because people are like, he's going to be goofy and ruin it. And then if I'm not goofy, they'll be like, it just was weird. I kept waiting for him to be goofy.
Right.
Like, I don't want to name names, but oftentimes people who are comedians or known for comedy get cast in serious stuff and they're not bad or anything. But I'm also just like, I don't know why you're in this.
Well, it's the expectation of the audience. Like, what are you? You need to find that one that has the perfect balance of like quirky computer guy.
Exactly.
Who can be
the, or like Jake Johnson in Jurassic World was great.
Right.
Where I was like, that's great.
Yeah.
And then Chris Pratt was the lead. He was a comedian.
He's the lead in everything
and now.
Now
he's just so buff.
He's fucking ripped.
They won't let him be funny anymore.
No. And he's funny as shit too.
He is really funny.
Yeah, I don't know. It's that crossover is a really,
it's a dice roll getting buff though. Like if you or I got super buff,
or you could be Piscopo.
That's what I'm saying. It's a dice roll.
It is a dice roll. But
and in the beginning, it was Ryan Reynolds. It was like a lot of resistance, and then finally, Deadpool happened so big that now everyone's like, he can be buff and funny.
Well,
but like I think he's hilarious. And
he's great.
I used to think he was just a super funny comedian. And then he got really buff and everyone was like, what is he?
Does not compute.
He confuses people's brains.
He can't be.
And I was like, he's still funny.
Yeah.
He's still funny. He's just buff now.
You know, he benefited from, because he was both and they never knew what to do with him. They kept kind of smushing him into these roles, and I feel like he would like his natural personality would try to come through, but I feel like it was stifled a little bit.
Yes.
So they're like, no, you got to be hot, funny guy.
Yeah.
And then finally, he gets to make his own thing.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, that's what he's, you know, amazing at.
He was cruising being funny, though. What was the one with him and Sandra Bullock? Is it The Proposal? Is that what it's called?
Yes.
That is a good movie.
Yeah.
Like, I watched it not voluntarily, and then by the end I was like, that was fucking great.
That's a huge sci-fi movie, right? No, The Proposal.
But he was really funny in it. Both of them are really funny.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see what, like, how do you make a Deadpool sequel? I feel like is an interesting challenge.
Yes.
Just going back to the, you know, like Gremlins 2 and but because
They started really self-referential.
Very self-referential. Yeah. And did they how do you one-up that? If you kind of made all of the self-referential jokes about what the state of superhero movies and, you know.
Now they are one of those.
Now they are one of those movies. So how do they? Oh, it's the trappings of success. but that'll make a shit ton of money. Then the question is, like, what happens on a third one?
Right.
Can they keep that going?
Right. And what happens when T.J. Miller decides to leave?
He's gonna. Sorry, guys. Oh, I did it again. I did it again. Oh, I can't help
that
it.
That sounded nothing like him.
No, it's me, TJ Miller.
No.
Yeah. Hey, Andy.
Sound like Jack Nicholson.
No. My mother, my father.
Hey.
Hey, man.
Bachman. Bachman, man.
Yeah, man.
Wait, no. Who's that? That's that. Now you're the dude.
Now, listening to Bachman Turner Overdrive.
No, isn't that his name on Silicon Valley?
Yeah. Ehrlich Bachman.
There should be a Logan and Bill and Ted.
There, Andy, we've covered this. There's a couple. There's
sorry, I've got memento disease.
Ted and... But you wouldn't know that.
That was like 7 callbacks in a row. We are professional comedians.
You wouldn't...
We've got this locked down.
Busted. Busted. Make it 8. Definitely let's keep listening to this. Whoever's listening, definitely.
You know, I really like watching a snake choke on its own tail.
Well, anyway, you're here to promote a film. This movie is called Tour de Pharmacy.
It is, thanks.
It is premieres at HBO July 8th, if I'm not mistaken.
You're just pulling that. There's nothing written down in front of you. I'm
no,
really
I
impressed.
Never. Yeah, it's just in the noggin.
You're a goddamn pro.
Sometimes I sneak it in there.
Sorry, I love to say goddamn because I'm not allowed to.
Damn it.
They don't let us say it on Fox, so I got to get my rocks off here.
That's how you get your rocks off?
God damn it.
Boy, you're really... Why are you... Just a hand slides down.
God damn.
Blaspheme. I want God to damn this.
Enraging certain sponsors.
You know, I feel like we've said... At this point, I don't think there's anything you could say.
Well, no, I mean the Fox ones.
Oh, the Fox ones. Yeah, you can't...
You can't say goddamn on network.
Yeah, there's some... Can you say anything? Do they just bleep stuff? Can you say?
You can't
get
do
any
bleeps
shits?
Or blurs. It was a rude awakening for me to start doing a show on Fox. The no bleeps. I was like, that's like half my career.
you saw my other work when you hired me, right? What did you think was going to happen? But you guys still figured out how to make it work.
Yeah, it's just a clean show.
Yeah, I know. But that's good. I think it's good to have boundaries to have to write around.
It makes you more creative in different ways, for sure. And I also will say I'm very grateful now that I have worked within a discipline that way. Like, and I like that I do a show that's clean and then I also do other stuff that's filthy, and it's good to have a little bit of diversity to it, I think.
Do you don't tour live anymore, do you?
No. I never really did. We've been about to do a Lonely Island tour like 5 times and then it always falls apart.
Oh my God, that would crush.
I don't, would it still, you think?
Yes.
I'm always so scared that you walk out there and they're like, who?
That's the boat, guys.
What?
Remember the boat song from Havasu?
What's a boat?
It's the boat, guys.
Oh, I don't know. I don't have TV.
I'm a cord cutter.
My name's Logan.
Logan. I'm definitely in Bill and Ted's. I think you guys would crush with that tour.
It'd be
absolutely
fun. We're getting close to being too old, maybe. But yeah, I would love to do it still. At least like one show.
Maybe really fun if you did it in Vegas, but the conceit was that you were all too old to be doing it, and so you're like, all, so you.
So it's like our retirement.
It's like your
show.
Retirement. Yeah, it's the Lonely Island retirement tour, and it's just like a handful of shows at like Caesar's Palace.
People do that younger and younger.
But fucking, yes,
like
Britney Spears.
Yeah, I was like, Britney, you don't have to do that yet. But apparently she's just probably making jillions of dollars.
I mean, I'm sure they're like, here's $100 million for 2 years.
She's like, yeah, I'll hang out in Vegas.
Yeah, I mean, what else would she do with those 2 years?
I mean, live someplace like really nice and calm.
Have a, you know, a grounded home life.
And not like surround herself with people that have gambling addictions.
In a false...
like a desert. With buildings that crank oxygen in to keep people spending money.
We're you know, not going to work every day where it smells like a bar mat.
Yeah.
And, you know, where everything's not vinyl and black toilets.
But yeah, but other than that, I can't see any other.
There's no downside.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's zero downside.
We should knock it. We'll be there soon. I mean, see you there.
Listen.
If we're lucky.
I think it'd be really fun to do that. I think you'd be very pleasantly surprised at how many people would go. Because I think people, you know, you guys as an entity are such an impactful force of comedy and really sort of ushered television and SNL into the digital age. I mean, there's no way people wouldn't be psyched.
Well, that is nice of you to say. I can't help but feel like we'd be up there and they'd be like, yeah, I don't know if I like the original King Kong.
Why did we do King Kong? We should have done our songs.
Are they reenacting the original claymation King Kong?
Start to finish.
Who's that? That's that other creature that they is only in that one scene.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. There's other... I thought it was just Kong, but...
They're just talking out loud at full volume during the show. What is this?
Wait, did King Kong just lift up her dress?
You made it sound like King Kong is a lady, and King Kong just lifted up her dress.
Oh, yeah, that's another way.
We took some liberties.
Why is King Kong doing a Marilyn Monroe over that grate?
And what a large grate. Who knew there was a grate that large?
Bro.
Anywhere.
That grate was practical.
Cost $1 million to have that grate. Totally worth it, though. The
whole crew fell into it.
Everyone died. It was worth it, though.
It was the most fucked up shoot ever, dude.
Yeah, just another night in Vegas.
So anyways, what were we talking about?
Tour de Pharmacy.
Tour de Pharmacy, thank you.
You're so welcome.
I don't know even what to call it. Is it a movie? Is it a television special? Is it a comedy special?
Well, I think mockumentary is the perfect word because it is like a sports documentary.
Yeah.
So it's the same amount of time.
If you say mockumentary, you don't have to acknowledge what length it's supposed to be or not.
That's right.
So it's just, it's a sports mockumentary.
It's a special. It's a sports special.
The HBO posters say an HBO special event or special presentation, something like that. I'll take that.
And the cast is insane.
It's insane.
You got some amazing...
I'm really excited about it. I know I'm like promoting it, but we're like finishing it right now, and I think it's good.
Can you just list some names?
Yeah. Is it okay if I reference my phone?
what are you talking about?
Yes, I can mention the cast.
Cut, Andy. I didn't believe it at all. Come on, man. You really want people to know the cast.
Off the top of my head, let me see.
Very exciting. You've worked on
it.
It's like
Orlando Bloom.
Okay, he's reaching.
Jeff
like
Goldblum.
It. Okay, yeah.
Who else has Bloom in their name? Rachel Bloom. No, she's not a John.
Bloom and Onion.
Dolph Lundbloom. John Cena Bloom. David Diggs Bloom. Danny Glover Bloom. Freddie Highmore Bloom.
He's too old for this Bloom.
Julie Ormond. Bloom. Judy Bloom. That would be a coup.
Judy Bloom! Just out of nowhere. Just Judy Bloom in a sports documentary special mocking doping.
There's more.
What?
James Marsden, Kevin Bacon, Maya Rudolph, Nathan Fielder, Mike Tyson. Friggin' Forte's in it. Felicia Rashad has a small part.
Isn't Serena Williams in it too?
She's in 7 Days in Hell.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that came out already. We're trying to make this like a thing. The Legends of Sport. Like banner,
and what's left?
Like what sports are left? Yeah. We have to choose whatever the next one is.
Golf.
You think golf?
Well, I think especially with everything that's going on with Tiger and all of the
true. There's a lot of funny stuff to pull from golf. Golf is scary though because there's Caddyshack and Happy Gilmore.
That's true, but Caddyshack is not a professional golf movie. Happy Gilmore is, but it's not like. But this documentary style.
It differentiates it.
Totally,
for sure.
Totally. I mean, it's no Tin Cup.
Love Tin Cup. me and Akiva, my buddy Akiva, you know him.
Yeah.
But he's a huge Kevin Costner freak. Like, he'll watch anything Kevin Costner's in.
Yep.
And we definitely watched Tin Cup. There's a song in Tin Cup in the movie that I believe at the start of it, the singer goes, "Go on and get 'em, Cup." Like as if, like that. His
Cup's
name
a guy.
His name is Tin Cup.
He just didn't understand.
But it's like the song should be at the end of the movie in the credits.
Yeah,
that's the one where you're like, it was a crazy movie, and this happened, and then this happened. But it was
still shouldn't reference a thing like it's a guy's name.
It was like the montage song in the South Park. Team America or South Park?
Team America, probably Team
they
America.
They did it on the show too, I think. Something similar like that.
Probably so.
Regardless.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It matters.
It matters to me.
It matters so fucking much.
It matters to me.
this might blow your friend Akiva's mind. In a little movie, you may know this, in a little movie called Night Shift, a comedy that holds up.
Yes.
Amazing. Ron Howard directed, Michael Keaton, Henry Winkler, Shelley Long. Do you remember the movie?
I haven't seen it in a long time.
Okay, so they start a prostitute ring in the morgue.
Yes, yes,
they work
yes.
for the morgue.
Yes.
They, when it's in full effect, kind of like just kind of winding up to the end of Act Two, they're throwing this big party in the morgue. There's a bunch of frat guys there.
Oh, I like
frat
this
guy number two, Kevin Costner.
Holy shit.
And you see him for a minute going, drink, drink, drink in the background. And if you look at the credits, frat guy number two, Kevin Costner.
I love that.
Yeah.
I recently, for the first time, watched Long Goodbye.
Uh-huh.
Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
Just standing there. Just being huge. Like, yeah. He's just being like a silent bodyguard.
Yeah.
And I think that was his first role in a movie, right?
Well, Hercules in New York was...
That's not a real thing.
It's a... You're going to see it and go, this is not a real thing. You're going to watch Hercules in New York and go, is this a fucking Adult Swim movie?
It's a good title.
Hercules in New York was when he was at the height of Mr. Universe. It was maybe 19, Katie, back me up on this, 1974, maybe 75. Uh-huh. It's exactly what you think it is. Hercules gets sent to New York. Hercules is Schwarzenegger. His accent was so thick, his voice is dubbed in the entire movie. 70. So every time he opens his mouth, and it's funnier now because you know Schwarzenegger, it's Zeus has sent me here to talk to you.
Whoa.
Mortals. Yeah. So it's very mind bendy. Katie, can you pull up a clip of Hercules in New York, please?
I want to hear that voice.
It's fucking great. But the whole thing just looks like it's like, oh, this is what Adult Swim does.
Premise wise, it's kind of Enchanted.
It is a little bit, yeah. Yeah, but it doesn't hold up. It's not,
it's not as good as Enchanted.
Maybe not as quite a... I mean, we just hadn't seen Enchanted yet. Before Enchanted, and then Enchanted fucking ruined it all.
Do you think the lookbook for Enchanted had a lot of
Hercules? The lot of Hercules in New York. This is tonally what we're going for.
So obviously it'll be totally different look, totally different premise, totally different acting, totally different not using the real person's voice.
But here's the lookbook.
But like...
Get real familiar with it. Watch it. Are you able to find it?
Like it down there. Let me be the judge of that. I'm tired of the same old faces, the same old things.
Like it down there.
Let me be the judge of that. I am tired of the same old faces.
It's bad news.
By the way, they were correct to dub him. Can you imagine if his whole career that had been happening? You'd be like, yeah, Total Recall makes way more sense.
Yeah. Get your ass to Mars. I don't want to be Quaid.
Killian.
But seeing that, like if that guy could make it with all of that going against him.
Yeah.
The thick axe and everything. There's no excuse why anyone couldn't.
He got buff.
He got super buff. But he started super buff.
He started buff, so no one was confused.
It wasn't like he started off like Woody Allen and then, you know.
If you start buff, you can seg into comedy.
Yeah.
You can't. It's harder. I mean, you still can. By the way, all comedians are buff now.
Well, I think everyone's
they're
just
all buff.
Health conscious.
Kev Hart.
Yep.
Super swole.
Yep. Burr works out, too.
Does he?
Yeah. Burr goes to the gym.
Is he buff, though? He's not, like, shredded.
I don't know if he's shredded.
He can't get shredded. If he gets shredded, then it's going to be like, hey, did you see Louie?
Louie was like,
yeah. You're like, no!
Yeah. what were we just talking about before? We were talking about...
Oh, God. You're going to make me ask?
What were we
Can
talking
I promote
about
my thing?
No!
It's on HBO and it's funny. Just watch it, please.
Trying to remember something. God damn it. We were talking about buff comedians. You were talking
the
about...
The crazy cast in my thing?
Being ripped... No! It's this
I'm
is
an
about,
executive producer!
It's not important!
I'm more than just a funny
Cut
guy!
Cut all this out, Katie! Like, why would you do this to someone? I have no idea. I think it had to do something to do with buff comedians. Oh, I remember what it was. It was, I came down pretty hard on The Rock on At Midnight. Not that he was, has any awareness of me, but because they put him on the cover of the GQ comedy issue.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's not. I mean, like, what about Colbert or John Oliver or Sam B or something? You know, and then afterwards I sort of regret it. I'm like, he is funny, though. He is funny.
He's
a comedy
charming.
Guy. He's charming.
He's charming as shit.
Yeah.
By the way, Wahlberg. It's like fucking funny.
Yeah.
He's in movies and being funny. It's like him and Will Ferrell. You're just like, he stole that from the comedian.
It's not fair.
He's super buff.
It's not fair. Probably got a real wide dick, too. It's not fair.
Probably wide.
It's wide. It's plump. It's ready to go. He's a shower. You know he is. You know he is. Speaking of showing and growing, Tour de Pharmacy.
Oh my God! Yeah, the brand is growing, and we are showing it on HBO.
When they,
it would have been perfect if then you just heard a gunshot. I was just like,
and then
he blew his brains out.
That was it.
Yeah. Last thing he said.
Yeah, that was the last thing you said.
Yes,
and
yes,
you just
yes.
fucking shot
No, I'm not shooting
it.
You.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you.
No, you don't deserve to die for what I did.
I appreciate that. Would you feel bad if I cut out the part of you killing yourself? Because I feel like you would do that to make a statement.
Yes.
And if I took that away, would that be?
It would be like, it's like, why am I here? I could just stay on Fox with all their censorship.
I can't swear. I can't shoot myself. What type of puritanical era are we living in?
You hear a Nerdist? You can't even fucking shoot yourself.
You can't even shoot yourself anymore. It used to be cool, man.
This shit's too PC, bro.
You know, John Hamm would come on, he'd shoot himself, and it's just like, nigga, too corporate. You just got too fucking corporate.
Got too fucking corporate, bro.
So this July 8th, and then it's on all the HBO platforms.
All of them. You don't have to say that. I mean, that's really shilling.
Well, I'm just trying to... I just want the kids to know where they can see it.
Yeah, you can watch it on your phone. I don't care.
You can watch it on home box office.
We're spending a lot of time on setting the looks.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you want to watch it on your phone...
If you want to, that's fine.
A lot of time in the sound mix, making sure it's properly aged.
Can I put any Snapchat filters on your movie?
No, I don't think so.
I don't think so.
You could try.
Yeah, you could try.
Hey, whatever gets it out there, you know? I'm desperate.
Do you... Yeah, sure. What do they want? You want to put some fucking weird sunglasses on me and some rainbows puking out of my mouth? I don't give a shit. Just got to stay relevant.
Yes. Like, hey, is this filter where you get butt fucked over a trough? And you're like, oh, nice. Cool. And does it make me... Yeah, it makes you drink the shitty water. The horse water, the drop.
This is a very complicated filter. You just got to stand there and just make a face. Oh, and like, oh, yeah, there I am. Bent over a trough drinking the dirty horse water.
I think we cut it, but there was a bit in Popstar where there's a scene where my guy comes out and he's got his dick and balls tucked between his legs and everyone takes pictures. And they make an app where you have to, like, pin the dick on his body. But I think we actually ended up not using it.
No, that's in there.
Is it in there? Okay, great. Say what? Maybe. It might be in the deleted scenes. Is it in the movie? Oh, never mind then. We cut so many things that I don't remember what's in now.
Oh, wait, that's the only scene in the movie now. Is what I meant.
Sorry,
I was at that backwards.
Let me start from the beginning. There's okay. This movie.
What?
King Kong.
The claymation movie?
Yeah. I went way back.
Back to 1933, I think. What else are you working on at the moment? Anything else?
No.
Good.
No, I quit.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you push me out, business. I quit you.
I quit.
Fuck you.
We're going to come back and shoot another season of Brooklyn.
Fantastic.
Yeah. The movie Brooklyn with Ram Swarce.
Shit, Saoirse Ronan.
Uh-huh. And... It was a charming movie.
It was a very sweet, charming movie. Yeah.
Sad. Fucking sad.
Yeah, I have a hard time watching sad movies. I just didn't realize them.
I always think I'm like, I'm not going to get like really upset when I watch a sad movie. And then I'm like sobbing.
And then for 2 days, just the looming depression.
Yeah.
Why am I so sad?
Fuck. My family went through some shit.
And what's crazy is my wife and I watch so much true crime. So many true crime shows where these are things that happen to real people.
Yeah.
And we'll just talk, wow, that's crazy. And then I watch, you know, like a fictional drama, and then I'm inconsolable.
We burnt out on the true crime. We did Serial and Making a Murderer and the Durst one.
Oh, right.
What was that called again?
Well, The Jinx.
The Jinx. Fuck, that was good.
Yeah, it was good. That kill them all.
Yeah, that moment we were like jumping up and down, like running around the room, like it was Def Comedy.
When he started like gagging.
No! Oh fuck yeah! That was good TV.
These are your signatures here. You can see that the letters in.
God, that was some Gollum.
Yep, that absolutely.
That's what you're saying. There's like a demon inside the coming out,
just trying to get out.
Oh fuck!
But Investigation Discovery is a whole channel of that, and we just watch all of them. Homicide Hunter, Web of Lies, I am Murder.
How can you live in
48
that space?
Hours.
Because you have too much comedy in your day.
Yeah, it's funny. This isn't funny at all. I don't know why I would say that. It's colloquial. I actually don't go home and watch a lot of comedy.
I've stopped watching a lot of comedy.
Which I feel is a bad move because I feel like, don't you want to know what's going on with comedy?
It's like everything, though. Like, when there's comedy that I really like now, it means so much to me.
Right.
When I'm like, fuck, that really made me laugh. How satisfying.
I have almost been moved to tears how much I love Rick and Morty. Mm-hmm. Just like we're like, fuck, that was the perfect joke.
It's so
I'll never write a joke that good.
It's a fucking great show.
Yeah.
Well, Harmon and Roiland, they're great dudes.
They're good. Good together.
Well, they're funny. I wouldn't say they're good dudes. I mean, they're both fucking lunatics. I love them.
In the best way.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen Roiland in a while. He might have just mellowed out. But when I met him, I was like, you're fucking crazy. I really like you.
But the... You know, when you put all that together, it doesn't always work, and they somehow manage
that
to...
That show is brilliant.
It's so lucid.
Oh, my God. It's like it scratches two itches that you think can't work together.
Yeah.
But it really does.
I mean, imagine just when you think about what the pitch is like, well, it's, you know, like a almost like a parody of Back to the Future. I don't know. Oh, it's the greatest thing ever.
I will say almost everything... And this, I'm not saying this to reduce how good that show is. Almost everything that deals in time travel of some sort, I'll watch.
Oh yeah.
Even if it's like pretty hacky, I'll be like, yeah, but I still want to.
Doctor Who? You a Doctor Who fan at all?
Not huge.
Okay.
But I probably would like it more than I've given it a chance to watch.
Did you like Arrival?
Yeah.
I liked it a lot, too.
I loved it.
It was fucking gorgeous movie.
Talk about, I cried hard watching Arrival.
How could you not?
It's so heavy.
How could you not?
She knew what was going to happen and chose to do it anyway. That's fucking super heavy, man.
And then just
the
whole thing about the language and the...
Yes. It was really good and really well done. Everything looked really legit. The aliens look different than aliens that I've seen before, but they looked like...
Cephalopods.
Yeah, they sold me on it and they had their own vibe.
I was talking to Neil deGrasse Tyson about it, and of course he just shattered all of the, why wouldn't they just use, and then he sort of explained like what you would actually do if aliens showed up. I'm like,
oh yeah,
oh man, oh yeah.
Well,
okay.
That's his own personal hell to live in. I'm like, I intentionally didn't get too smart. I don't want everything ruined. I already can't watch comedy.
Yeah, you can't. It's all, you don't want to take away sci-fi.
The only thing I'll say about Arrival, and it doesn't even bother me, is they fully pulled a Bill and Ted, not to keep referencing Bill and Ted, but when she goes into her vision of the future,
right?
It's the guy, the general from China, is like, hey, just so you know, if you ever talk to
me,
should probably say this. And it's the tape recorder when they're in jail.
Right.
And then afterwards, like, okay, but don't forget, we have to record that and place it in the jail.
Leave your keys over there.
I did steal my dad's keys. While we were watching it, I was fully immersed in Arrival, loving it. And I went, it's Bill and Ted.
It's fucking Bill and Ted's. It's 100% Bill and Ted's. So what have we learned from this podcast? Number one, you're going to watch Tour de Pharmacy. July 8th.
Yes.
On all the HBO areas.
Yeah.
You're going to watch Gremlins 2.
Ugh, and watch that sketch too, Key and Peele
sketch. And watch the Gremlins 2 Key and Peele sketch.
You have to watch that immediately.
I will.
Okay.
I promise I will. And then, what else? Anything else?
Just that Bill and Ted is awesome.
Bill and Ted's awesome. They need to make a third one.
Yeah. And please have both of us in it.
We need to both be in it somewhere. Boy, that'd be really crazy if they were like, hey, do you want to, you know, this whole time you're like, well, you can't replace them. But if someone came to you and were like, hey, would you want to be the new, would you do it or would you?
Bill and Ted?
Yeah.
No.
It's the reach for the it's the reach for the chalice moment in Last Crusade.
Yeah, it means too
much. I can reach it. Let it go. I can reach it. It's right there. Let it go, Indiana.
Let it go.
Let it go.
We're both really good at that. Oh, we're both really good at that.
Let it go.
Let it go, Indiana.
Indiana. I was the next man. I am the last dragon.
Thank you. That was your pull? Oh, my God. That hurt me.
I've lost the cure for cancer.
I don't know. Just, that's good. That's good, too.
Medicine Man, huh? Wrap it up with Medicine Man?
Medicine Man. You always want to go out. You always want to go out on Medicine Man. That's like rule of three. Go
comedy.
Out on Medicine Man.
Bill Hicks always said.
Go out on Medicine Man.
Oh, yeah, Medicine Man. Well, that's your closer. You know what? Speaking of Medicine Man,
kind of wraps it around a tour de pharmacy.
Yeah, men's stuff.
Men.
Thanks for doing that.
The end. Enjoy your burrito. Fuck.
Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history. Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.